What I would like to speak about today is the last time I didn't finish what I was saying, so I figure I would finish up what I was saying the last time. Last time I was speaking a little bit about when we read through the book of Jeremiah, we know that it's speaking to us today. The whole Bible is, but today we read Jeremiah, God is particularly speaking to the time in which we live, the churches. Now we know that the churches are under God's judgment and Satan rules there. And as we read through Jeremiah, we see how God warns the pastors and the churches that they don't teach God's words faithfully, how they're going to come under God's judgment. But when you look at Jeremiah 23, verse 1, God starts out by warning the pastors and the churches and whomever is declaring God's word. Because if we're saying, thus saith the Lord, we better make certain that God said it. And it's not coming out of our own minds or somebody else said it and it's not true. So we have to make sure that when we're sharing the gospel with our children or we're sharing the gospel over the radio or teaching the Bible or handing out a tract, we better make sure that what we're saying, God really said it, and it's being faithful to God's word. In Jeremiah 23, verse 1, we read, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. And how we feed his people, the pastor, he's teaching the word of God. He's feeding them. And he goes on and says, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. See how God starts out this chapter? By warning the pastors and the churches. Make sure that what you're teaching is based on the truths of God's word, and not what we've been told or what somebody said. That means we can't be lazy. We have to study the Bible. We have to spend time reading the Bible and praying God for wisdom, that he will open our spiritual understanding. None of us have 100% truth. But one of the wonderful things is about a child of God, we're teachable. You know, God has given to us a teachable spirit. So if you're a child of God and you realize that you've been, I think all of us to a certain degree had a teaching or a doctrine that wasn't true. And we know that God's word is given for our correction. For our correction. Pride can't be involved, you know. We have to humbly come before God's word, the Bible, and listen to what he says. And we're willing, more than willing, to say, I was wrong. And let the Bible correct us. And we gladly change. And we try to be more faithful to what God has said. So that's one thing about the true believer. God has given to us a humble spirit, that where we've been taught wrong or had an idea that wasn't faithful to God's word and we're being corrected, we thank God for it. We thank God. But the last time I was looking at Jeremiah 23, verse 27, I'm going to start reading at verse 27 on down to verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 23, start reading at verse 27. To cause my people to forget my name by their dreams and which tell every man to his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. A prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. See God's admonition to us. If we say we're teaching God's word or whatever the case is, we must speak it faithfully. Faithfully. Is what I'm saying true to God's word? Not my own ideas. Remember in Proverbs chapter 3, God tells us not to lean on our own understanding. Because now we can't trust what comes out of our own minds. We have to listen to the Bible. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So if this person is bringing a false gospel, God is against you, because you're saying God has said, when he didn't. When he didn't say it. You see, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. So you see, this is a very important thing. When we're declaring God's word, and we're going to make certain that he said it. Because if he didn't say it, we're making God a liar, and we're lying. Because the Bible didn't say it. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So if we're bringing a false gospel, only the true gospel would save someone. The false gospel has no profit. It's not bringing salvation to anyone. It's a doctrine that it's a lie. You see, and we know that we're living in that day, which we're right at the end of the world, and we know, according to the Bible, that in the churches of our day, Satan rules there. So what's being taught is not true. And there is no possibility of salvation in the local churches of our day. And it's a sad thing. Many of us have loved ones who are in the churches. And how our heart weeps for them. It could be children, it could be wives, it could be mothers, it could be friends, it could be anyone. And they're in this church and they're being fed by the pastor's poison, spiritual poison. And the pastors have assured them that all is well. And yet they're under God's judgment. They're worshiping Satan. And it's a sad, sad thing. And as we look back on the church age, we will see why God's judgment is upon the churches. How people or pastors are teaching things that I think is grace. They will use the word grace. Yeah, God say, but yeah, now they believe that. But you have to do this. You have to do that. And it's a false gospel. Any amount of works is involved in it. It's another gospel. It's not a gospel of grace any longer. God is the one. And it can't see for dust. And yet, they're teaching these lies. They're saying, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord didn't say it. And how sad that is. When you go over to Jeremiah 14, you see the same warning there by God. Jeremiah 14, let's start breaking to the chapter, verse 11. Then saith the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. Neither have I spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. So you see, if it's not based on the word of God, they're telling you a deceit and a lie out of their own heart, their own thinking, because they're adding works to grace or any gospel. Some of them have a gospel, believe that God is speaking to them through a dream or a vision or whatever, and it's not the true gospel. It's a false gospel out of their own mind. And verse 15 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. You know, they're promising the people all is well. You know, all is well. You don't have to worry about the day and the hour of God's judgment. You know, God loves everybody, and they are assuring people, all is well. All is well, you see. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. And God goes on, you see. So it's a very, very, very important issue when we're teaching God's word or sharing the Bible that it is based only on the word of God. Because you're feeding these people a pack of lies and you have no profit, no salvation. But let's get back over to Jeremiah 23. But see, as we bring the gospel faithfully to the world or to our family members, we're going to be treated as outcasts. You know, we don't expect that the world or our family members is going to embrace us. Because we're coming with some horrible news that if you're not saved, God is going to destroy you. We're telling them that also that we know the day and the year of, and the month of Christ's return. You know, I'm pretty sure many of you have weird looks and may probably laugh at, and we're coming some horrible news to our loved ones that in a few short years, judgment day is here, the end of the world. And you're not going to be received with that response is going to be, yeah, right. How you know that? According to the Bible, and it's the last thing they want to be reminded of, that the end of the world is almost here. You see, so the response is going to be, the offenses will come. Let's look at Luke chapter 17. God warns us about this. When you bring the gospel faithfully and you're standing for Christ, normally you stand alone. Alone. In Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Here God is telling us, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him whom they come. See, there's an offense will come when we're bringing the true gospel. You're going to be shunned. You're going to be treated as an outcast. You're going to be mocked. Remember when Jonah went, Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah with the gospel? He was mocked. He was laughed at. But he had the truth. Remember Elijah? When he, let's look at it in, where's that? 1 Kings. When you stand for truth, normally you stand alone. But we know the true believer is really never alone because God is with us. 1 Kings 19. Remember the account there with Elijah, the prophet? Remember that wicked Ahab and Jezebel, his wife? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So you see, Elijah had slain the prophets, and here his life now was at stake. Let's drop down to verse 14, I believe. Let's pick it up in verse 14. Then he said, I have been very jealous. Here Elijah speaking. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I alone. See, he was standing alone. I'm alone, I'm left, and they seek my life to take it away. Here this faithful prophet of God stood alone for truth. You see, and oftentimes many of us is going to be in a situation where we're the only one in our families who are saved, and we're standing alone. And no one else wants to hear the truth of God's word. But it's oftentimes it's like that. And let's read verse 18. And here God is going to assure him that he's not yet alone. There are others in that place that is truly saved. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the kings and all the knees which have not bowed the knee to Baal, and everyone mouth which hath not kissed him. So he didn't know, but he thought he was the only one there who was standing for Jehovah God of the Bible. But there were others there also that were truly saved. Let's look also in Matthew 10. So the same idea there in Matthew 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. We're going to break into the chapter. It says, here he's going to tell us, here Christ is telling us, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall they of his own household. See, when we stand for truth, normally we stand by ourselves. You can stand for truth on your job. You're the only one there in the home or wherever you might be. At times, you're the only one who is declaring God's word faithfully. Faithfully. And how sad that is. Let's go back over to Jeremiah 23. Here God's warning to us in verse 27. The prophet that hath a dream, let him dream, tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. See, we have to examine our doctrine. Is it true to God's word? Did God really say it? This is a very important topic. It's particularly in our day. Because God tells us, Satan, he goes about. Satan's there. You know, he's took over the churches. And here we are coming as we go out in the world with the gospel. We're going to meet with opposition. The faithful gospel. But if you're bringing in a gospel that is based, that man wants to hear, more than likely you won't have no opposition. If you're going to tell somebody that God loves everybody, or he has a wonderful salvation plan, or he has a wonderful plan for your life, all is well. All is well. See, mankind love that type of thing. But from the moment you're coming with judgment, sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, people get offended. The offenses come. Oh, you're too negative. Why you always have to bring talks about destruction or hell or all these things? Why can't you just be positive? And so many gospels on TV, you know, has this note, the power of positive thinking. You know, don't bring this negative stuff, you know. Bring things that uplift people, you know. Tell them the good things. But don't come with this judgment stuff. And that's what people want to hear. You know, look at Christ when he came. Was he received wonderfully by the people? No. No, they didn't. Scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews, they were chasing him all over the place to kill him, to take his life. So should we expect any less? When we are bringing the true gospel, it's expected. The offenses will come. People are going to be offended by the true gospel. And if people are not heckling us, then, you know, maybe something isn't right. But we are going to meet with opposition with the true gospel. And in verse 30, he says, in 23, he says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. Remember, we look at John 10 the last time. John 10, verse 1. Remember, let's read it again. I said it in the last Sunday, but let's look at it again. How do we steal the word of God? How do we steal it? By bringing a false gospel, we're being a thief. You see, if we're not bringing the true gospel, God sees us as a thief. You know, we're emissaries of Satan. Here we read in John 10, let's read it again. John 10, verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door," here is somebody who's trying to get into heaven through another way, to another way, and you know, Christ is the door, you see. But here he's entering not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way. See, he's trying to get in heaven to another way, another gospel. The same is a thief and a robber. You see, somebody's bringing in another gospel, they're being a thief and a robber. And who in the Bible is a thief and a robber and a murderer? Satan is. Satan is a thief and a robber and a murderer. We're being emissaries of Satan. And this verse 2 says, "But he that entereth in by the door," which is Christ, we're entering into the kingdom of heaven through Christ. He's the door. He's the shepherd of the sheep. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know not the voice, for they know his voice." And that stranger, and who's a stranger? It's somebody who is bringing another gospel. "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." The true believers, you hear that teaching, you know immediately it's not true. And Satan, he uses gospel to entice people to false gospel, and they go for it. But the true believers are not a thief or a robber, because they're bringing forth faithfully God's word, the Bible. So those who have another gospel is a thief and a robber. They're stealing from the word of God, and they're marrying their ideas with the Bible and have their own whatever, and they're not being faithful to God's word. They're being a thief and a robber of God's word. Let's read same chapter, John 10. Let's go over to verse, it says 31 to 33. Here Christ is bringing the gospel, and he's being met with opposition. You know, the Jews, it says here in verse, let's start reading at verse 31 of John 10. "Then the Jews took up stones to cast, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." Here's Christ bringing the gospel, and they were about to stone him. Here Christ is the perfect preacher, and yet here's the Jews about to cast stones at him. Why? He's being faithful. He is the word of God, and he's telling them the truth. And mankind by nature, we don't want to hear the truth from the Bible. We don't want to hear it. "Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." They understood that. Here Christ, they're saying, they don't understand what they're saying, because God is having them to say these things, that Christ is making himself God, which he is. See, this is a good proof text to say, here, Christ is God. They understood that Christ was making himself God. You see, and they were greatly offended at it. They failed to realize that he is God. Emmanuel, God with us. And here, they're about to stone him because they realize that he is making himself God. You see, and if you look at another passage, it's here. This is, you know, as we stand for truth, that's what happens. Of course, we're not going to get stoned today, you know, but people are going to shun us, not going to be around us. Family members won't come around you as often as they used to anymore, because you're sharing the truth of the gospel with them, and yet they don't want to hear it. You're treated as an outcast. As I said, this is going to happen as we go out in the world with the gospel. And from the moment mankind see the track, "Does God love you?" Most of them, no matter where you go in the world, most of them, they're taken aback by it. They don't want to be remembered, reminded of it. And you might get cursed at, you might get all sorts of responses. But mankind by nature, we don't want to be reminded of this, that there is a God and we have to deal with them. They have nothing to do with you. See, the offenses for the gospel, the offense of the Christ is going to be here as long as this world exists. Now, we listen to Open Forum. You hear the confrontation on the radio because the true gospel is being proclaimed. There are those who are arguing with the Bible. Can't be so. How can we know these things? We can't know the day and the hour. That's the first thing they tell you. You can't know. You can't know this. You can't know that. You can't know you're saved. You can't know all these sorts of these things. But we can know. We can know because God has opened the eyes of the true believers to say these things. Look at John chapter 8. Remember we said in John chapter 10 verse 1 that there are those who steal the word of God. Those are the one who has been a thief and a robber. Here God is he's speaking to the Jews and he's telling us there in verse 42. Here they're remonstrating with Christ and God is telling us here this verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? There are those, you know, no matter how you try to explain to them salvation, grace, they can't understand it because their spiritual eyes are not open. And here Christ is going to answer the question, even because you cannot hear my word. There are those whose spiritual ears are not open and they can't hear it. They can't hear because they're still spiritually dead. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. So those false prophets who are bringing another gospel, they're saying to us that Satan their father, because Christ, he's a father. Satan is a father. Satan is a father of lies. And here these false prophets, because they are emissaries of Satan, they are also speaking lies. They're speaking lies. They're speaking lies. Because Satan comes with his deceit, with his false gospels. And here God telling those who are bringing the gospel, really, that they're emissaries of Satan and they're speaking lies just like their father, the devil. You see? So you see the same idea. Look at also at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. God clearly just spells it out right there to us. About those who are bringing a false gospel. Here he tells us. Verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. See, a false prophet, he's a deceitful worker because neither does he know the truth, he's marrying God's word with his own ideas. He's being deceitful, just like Satan, who is a father of deceit of lies, deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. See, they're changing themselves that way. Remember, God tells us Satan comes around like wolf in sheep clothing. It says, and no marvel that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, how deceitful can you be? He doesn't come in a red suit with the horns in his head and say, hey, look, I'm Satan. He comes using the Bible. He comes using the word of God to deceive people. He's the father of lies and he's going to use the Bible. It worked in the Garden of Eden. Did God say? You see? He tried to use it when Christ was in the garden being tested. It didn't work. And he uses the Bible and he twists it for his own gain. In verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's how he operates. He comes as Reverend so-and-so or Dr. so-and-so, and he's this false denomination been around for centuries, and he comes subtly. He's a very subtle individual. He comes into the church and he deceives the hearts of the simple. The term the Bible uses. He deceives the heart of the simple. Remember in Proverbs 6 or 7, the woman who goes about with the picture of the false gospel, and as it goes about to deceive those who haven't had their eyes open to truth, who are being conned by Satan, and they can't see for dust. And he has them, you see. And that's how he operates. God calls him a murderer. And that's what he does. He murders people with the false gospel, but they don't realize it. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual murder. You see, you don't have to kill somebody with your hand to kill them. Just feed them a false gospel. You're drinking that false gospel. You're murdering that individual. And it's sad when there are families who have another gospel, who are teaching this false doctrine to their children. To their children. And their children are just sitting there just listening to mom and dad. And they're just drinking this falsehood. And they're killing their children. And how sad that is. How sad. Let's move on a little bit. As we go out in the world, God commands us to do. You know, God tells the true believer that we're light bearers. We are light bearers of the gospel. So that means that Christ is the light, and when we become truly a child of God, we are light bearers. And we are going to share the true gospel because our spiritual eyes have been opened by God, and we're going to be faithful carriers of this wonderful gospel, what God has entrusted to us. If you will look at the Gospel of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, because only the true believers are the true witnesses of the gospel. They are the true light bearers of the gospel in the world. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting at verse 17, here God tells us, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned." We have to be careful with believing and so forth. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, those who are not saved, they're under condemnation, and they already are judged by God. They're already been condemned by God. "Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world," which is Christ, he is the light, "is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." If you talk about literal darkness, no, it's spiritual darkness. And before we're saved, where are we? We're in darkness. We're in the dominion of Satan. We love that. You know, we love our sin. We love the way we are. See, we love darkness rather than Christ. We love our sin rather than Christ. Because why? Because our deeds are evil. See? Our wicked works, we love our sin, you know. And we don't want to give them up. Although we hear that the wages of sin is death, we don't care until God opened our eyes to truth. Then we see the error of our way. But we love our sin. And particularly in our day, how we see sin is multiplying. You know, mankind loves it that way. You see, in verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." By nature, the light there, we hate Christ. We hate him. You see, we want nothing to do with him. And that's why we sing this song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." We're in our sinful state. We're just comfortable right there. Just leave me alone. I'm doing fine, thank you. But if we're not saved, are we doing fine? No, we're not. And it says, "Neither cometh to the light." Of ourselves, we can't come to Christ of ourselves. God has to bring us to himself, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, We don't want to have nothing to do with Christ in our condition. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And the only way, as we said, the only way we're going to come to Christ, he has to do all the work of drawing us to himself, or else we will never come of our own accord. Let's look at another passage in Matthew 5. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Remember, we are light bearers of the gospel. When we become truly a child of God, Christ is the light, and as if we are reflected light of him. In Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, there we read, here he tells us, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If we're bringing the gospel and we're not bringing the full counsel of God, then the gospel really is good for nothing. We have to warn mankind about sin and judgment and these things, that he's in trouble with God. You know, we have to bring the whole word of God truthfully. It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. The gospel is no good. If we're bringing a false gospel, it's no good. God can't use that. Ye are the light of the world. The true believers, we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we're light bearers, and we're bringing the true gospel. We're bringing praise and glory to God. And if that person is any elect, which we're sharing the gospel with, God will use it to save that person. We're light bearers of this wonderful gospel that God has given to us. And we're going to be faithful light bearers of the gospel. We can't help it, because when God has opened our eyes, we don't worry about what people might think of us. That's our last of our concern. You may be called names or whatever, or your family members leave you, or you name it. We're going to stand for Christ no matter what. We can't help but do it God's way, because he has opened our eyes to truth. And he said earlier that the offenses will come for the gospel. Offenses will come. It's expected. It's par for the course. You see, your wife might leave you, your husband might leave you, your kids might throw you up to the, have nothing to do with you. It's par for the course when you're standing for truth. You see, let's go on a little bit. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. I'm not going to get through all these verses, but I'm kind of trying to skip over a few things, because my time is practically up. But Acts chapter 5, we see that as the apostles, when you read through the book of Acts, you see as they were, the apostles were bringing the gospel, how the opposition came, because they were being faithful light bearers of the gospel. The opposition came. Acts chapter 5, let's look at verse 17 and 18. Let's pick up the context a little bit. Remember, Peter, I believe, was preaching. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira in the same chapter, how they fell down dead? And let's go over to verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that was with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. See, when you're being faithful to God's word, you see what happens? It brings man's anger. Who are you to tell me this and that I'm God's going to destroy me, I'm going to throw in hell? Who are you? See, they brought the gospel. The Jews, they were angry, and they rose up against them with indignation, in verse 18, and lay their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. See what happened to them as they were bringing the gospel? They were thrown into prison. And you, if you would go over to verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. These are the apostles. They were taken out of prison. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in his name," which is Christ? "And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." See, we're going to stand for truth. We ought to obey God rather than man. You know, you put up with man's heckling or laughing or whatever they do to you. That's nothing. But we can't but obey God's word. His commandments is just true believers are going to stand for Christ. And you read on, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his own right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. See what happened as you bring the true gospel, and you go over to verse 40. "And to him they agreed that they had called the apostles and beaten them." You see, they were beaten. "They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." See, we rejoice, you know, when we're being praise and glory to God's name. Here, look what they've been through, and yet they're rejoicing. The little things that we go through in this present life is only for a moment. It's light affliction. What is it if I'm being teased or mocked because I'm saying 2011 is the end of the world? You think majority of the world is not going to believe it. They don't buy it whatsoever. As I said, you stand alone when you stand for truth. Most of the time, you're all by yourself. And the offenses will come. The laughings and the teasing will come. But don't be afraid of the faces of man. Don't be afraid of it. I think I better stop here. Anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Fred.
Yeah, just to add to your teaching on how the false gospels are thieves and robbers, and how Jeremiah 23 verse 30 speaks about stealing God's word. Mm-hmm. And we know that to steal something is to take it away, you know. And so I was thinking of Revelation 22 verse 19. Revelation. It's very similar language. Of course, in the consequences of someone who brings these false gospels.
Revelation 22:19.
Yeah, God speaks about taking away.
"If any man shall take away," yeah, "from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Yeah, that's what the false gospel does.
Yeah, they take away the words.
They're taking away the words and have their own ideas. And
exactly.
Yeah, they're stealing the word of God. Okay, let's close here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that